Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Please stay tuned and worship with us on this Lord's Day. Conducting the service is the Reverend Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.
What shall we do with Mary, the mother of Jesus? This is a question that Christians have debated through the years. Some worship Mary, others ignore her. The Bible says, honor her. Mary is truly a model, showing what God can do in the life of a person. We'll take a further look at Mary and what God did for her in the sermon today, which is entitled, Here I Am, Lord. God, as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel. since I am a virgin. The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Here ends a reading of God's Holy Word. In Christ. For hundreds of years, Christians have been asking the question, what shall we do with Mary? The Bible has some nice things to say about Mary. Gabriel the angel addressed her in this way, Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Elizabeth, her kinswoman, said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? On the basis of these verses, Christians have treated Mary in various ways. Some have worshipped her. They have prayed to and through her. Others have pretty much ignored her and felt that there was really no importance to the character of Mary at all. It is a very interesting thing. In the church of which I am a member, there are 5,000 congregations. Of these 5,000 congregations, to the best of my knowledge, there is only one called St. Mary's Lutheran Church. One wonders why that is. We have so many named St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, Thomas, Timothy, but only one called St. Mary's. I wonder if this is not just an indication that some of us have ignored this person whom God was honored with. Biblically, the message is very clear. We should honor Mary as the one chosen by God to give birth to Jesus, the God incarnate. Scripture supports our honoring the mother of Jesus, and the witness of Mary's life is truly a model for all Christians, showing what God can really do when he gets a hold of a life. She is still our model. Listen to these words. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. or translated into words that we can better understand, "Here I am, Lord, use me." In this statement, you find two words which describe Mary. The one is submissive, the second is responsive. The dictionary defines submissiveness in this way. It is to yield one's power to the power of another. This is not a popular idea in our day. We have become very concerned about our own authority, our own power. We see this brought forth in various ways. For example, people ask questions like this. What about my personal identity? What about me as a person? Don't I count? Notice in these questions, the emphasis is on the I. And now we're told in the Word of God to submit to God, to yield our power to the power of God. Mary was willing to do this. Listen once again to what is going on in the text. The angel comes and makes the announcement. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then I think Mary pondered this for a while, and the angel could well have asked, "Mary, do you have any questions?" And then the virgin would have come forth and said, "How can this be, since I have no husband?" Then the angel comes back and says, "Mary, that is a very understandable question. I don't wonder that you are concerned about this. But the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And that which is conceived in your womb is of the Spirit of God." Unable to understand what is happening, for she is yet a very young lady, Mary cries out, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Here you have that model of the Holy Spirit working in the life of a person until the individual submits her will to the will of God. There is what God wants every one of his children to do. He has come to us, my friend, in his word in so many specific ways. Listen to how he talks to us. He says, for example, in the 28th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations by baptizing and teaching them." That is a command that often meets resistance as far as many of us who are the children of God are concerned. We don't want to do that. We do not want to yield our will to his will and become verbal witnesses to Jesus Christ. How often do you not read in the scriptures the laws of God? And one of those laws is this commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Our church father, Dr. Martin Luther, has written a beautiful explanation to that commandment when he said, "We should so fear and love God that we do not deceitfully belie, betray, backbite, nor slander our neighbor, but apologize for him, speak well of him, and put the most charitable construction on all that he does." How difficult it is at this particular point to yield our will to the will of God and say, "God, I know what a sharp tongue I have, but I give you my will, I give you my tongue, I give you my heart. Now tame that tongue and use it to say good things about other people. And if I can say those good things, help me to remain silent." That's submitting our will to the will of God. But submissiveness does not mean that we lie down and die. For a part of submissiveness is to be responsive to the person to whom you are submitting. And so Mary not only said, "I am the handmaiden of the Lord," but she went on to say, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" Mary accepted the role that God gave to her. She bore that child in Bethlehem's manger. She carried the mysteries that surrounded that child and pondered them in her mind and her heart. She walked to Golgotha and stood there beneath the cross of her son as he was being crucified. Jesus looked down from that cross and, watching her in her anguish, cried out to John, the beloved disciple, "Son, behold your mother." In other words, John, take her home. We can't stand to let her suffer like this. And the last that we hear of Mary in the Bible is where she is gathered together with the other disciples in the upper room after Jesus has ascended into heaven. Now her mission on this earth is over. She had been faithful to the end and had done what God wanted her to do. That submissive, responsive soul who is our model this day. When we submit to God, we are responsive to Him. When He says to us in the last part of St. Matthew's Gospel, you go and share the faith, the submissive, responsive soul says, here I am, Lord. He or she does not turn around and say, now, Lord, you know that's not according to my nature. Or you know that as a member of the particular denomination from which I come, we simply do not do these things. We try to witness by our lies, and God says, but speak. And if I am responsive, friend, then I speak. And I don't argue about what form of evangelism I use. I talk to others about Christ. That's a responsive will. That's the mind. That's the heart that is captured by Jesus Christ and gets on with the business that God has given him or her to do. When I hear the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, I know that God is speaking to me. And I may come back with all of my rationalization. I may say, God, don't you understand the family that I come from? A person could be heard saying, look at my mother. See what a sharp tongue she had. Can you expect me to be any differently, God? I was raised in that home. I have these genes. I am bound to be an individual who is always lambasting somebody else. But the responsive person will say, God, you know my nature, but I turn my life by the grace of God over to you. Take my tongue and use it that it may bring praises to God. Take my tongue and grant that it may be used to apologize for my neighbor and to speak well of him wherever I possibly can. These are but a few examples of where the responsive heart is in tune with the will of God. And Mary is our model. But the purpose of this sermon is not to glorify Mary. It is to honor her. It is to show what God can do in the life of a person when he gets inside. Mary herself knew that she needed a Savior, and so she spoke these words, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It is not that she was sinless. It is that she was one who, empowered by the Spirit of God, had responded to her Father. She is our hero or our heroine on this particular day. About a year ago, my wife and I attended a concert of the Waterloo, Iowa Symphony Orchestra. Accompanying that particular that symphony on that evening was a 15-year-old boy who was the pianist. As he played on for many minutes with the symphony, I sat beside one of the finest pianists in our community. When he was done, the pianist said, oh, that I could play like that young man. I can well imagine a second-year piano student saying, someday I'm going to play like this man plays. Maybe that student will, maybe he will not. For it is possible that a person could take piano lessons from now until he dies, and he could practice the piano 5 hours every day and still not be a great pianist. Why? To a certain extent, it takes some natural ability. And if I don't have that natural ability, no matter how hard I practice, I perhaps will never be great. Now someone says, well, does this not answer our question? Is it not true that no matter how hard we try, we can never be like Mary. Mary must have been made out of some special stuff. For God had a special mission for her. The last is true. No one but Mary has ever, nor will ever, give birth to the God incarnate. That was her special mission. But God has a special mission for you and me, friend. And the Word of God makes it very clear that as Mary was born, so you and I have been born. As Mary had her weaknesses, so you and I have our weaknesses. But as Mary was captured by the Spirit of God, so you and I can be captured by the Spirit of God. And in our way, we too can be one used by God to establish His kingdom in the hearts of people. No, God did not create Mary in a very special way. That's what's so marvelous about this whole story of Christmas. God is dealing with ordinary people. Mary, an ordinary girl. Shepherds, ordinary people. And God reaches into their hearts and makes them great. Here is a thrilling punchline of the sermon today. What the Holy Spirit did in the life of Mary, He has done in the lives of thousands of people in history. He is working in lives today, and if He is not in your life, He wants to be. Empowered by the Spirit of God, He would urge you to submit your life to Him. Respond to His will, and He will use you in the kingdom of God, in your family, as you share the message of Jesus Christ with those near to you, among your circle of friends, as you verbally point them to what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Yes, we can join the army of people who trust Jesus Christ. It's good to have a few heroes and heroines in our lives to inspire us on to greater things. And we have them, Paul and Peter, Augustine and Luther, Bonhoeffer, and that faithful father, brother, whoever it might be. But don't forget the great women of the faith, for there was Lydia and Phoebe, and Priscilla and Monica, and Mother Teresa and Corrie ten Boom, and a mother or a sister or a daughter or someone who has been used by God in your life. Today, my friend, our model is Mary, the woman who cried out, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And never forget it, friend, what God did in the life of Mary, He is anxious to do in your life. Make you a humble servant of the Almighty God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, as we draw closer to Christmas and to that time when we celebrate your birth, we thank you that you came, that you identified yourself throughout your ministry with common people. People, O God, who were willing to confess their sin. People who turned to you. And so we thank you for that beautiful example of Mary that inspires us, that shows us what God can do in the lives of each and every one if we will but let him in. So, Father, in this season of the year, grant that we may hear that gospel and, empowered by your Spirit, may Jesus Christ live and reign in our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You are tuned to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are pleased to have you worshiping with us this day. We hope you will tune in every Sunday on the same station and hear Pastor Larson. We are thankful that through radio communication, Pastor Larson's sermons can reach such a widespread audience. Response from you, the listener, is very important to Christian Crusaders. Your gifts are needed and appreciated. Support for this radio ministry is through friends like you. Therefore, it's important that we know you are a part of Christian Crusaders Radio Congregation on this station. Address your letters and your gifts to Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa. Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, zip code 50704. Attractive memorial cards from Christian Crusaders are now available free for your use. And also, we have printed copies of the sermons heard on these broadcasts. They are also available for the asking. The address again is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, 50704. Conducting the service today, as on every Sunday, was the Reverend Homer Larson, pastor of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.